Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com on the or Patriot broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson, simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, my goodness, it's Thoroughly Confusing Thursday, which fits right in. When I first went to call JD, he wasn't showing on my Skype that he was there, and he was there, but then he finally showed up there, and then I got going, and now I can't stop. I can't pay attention. It is Thoroughly Confusing Thursday. It's the 20th day of April, 2017. It's 12:05 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively, and I do believe we are joined by one of those sort that give that other sort a bad name in the form of JD, U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny, riding shotgun.
Yes, you are, Henry. I did finally make it. And as always, an honor and a privilege to be fighting the propaganda war with you from the trenches.
And as always, an absolute honor and privilege to have you here, brother. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want. And that would be 220029 and then the pound sign again. That's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with JD and myself. Well, it's currently 42 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 49 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's gradually working its way there, but of course, by next Monday and Tuesday, it could snow again. Told ya. Anyway, for your weather coast to coast, how are things today out there in Nazi Joyzy, J.D.?
Oh, I guess it helps if I unmute the mic. Well, Henry, over here in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, at about 120 feet above the sea level and about a mile away from the Atlantic Ocean proper, we currently have, well, it's kind of nice out there. In fact, the sun just started peeking out like 2 minutes before the radio program. So I guess you brought the sunshine over here, Henry, because it's been dreary and gray all morning until just now. And right now we do have 68 degrees. The sun, as I said, just came out from behind the clouds, but we are expecting some thunderstorms later. And looks like tomorrow, looks like we're going to have a little of both. We're going to have some sun, clouds. Well, let's make it a trifecta. And we may have a thunderstorm or two tomorrow too. And then the weekend looks very pleasant. So, you know, this is going to be our first full-blown spring weekend here in New York, and it's going to be a typical one in the 60s. And some sun, a little bit of clouds to help keep the sun from baking you too much, but pleasant temperatures all around.
You are my sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
It's spring in New York. Like I said, Henry, it looks like spring has sprung.
Awesome. I'm happy for you, actually. Like I said, I'm not freezing to death, so I can't be bitchy about it too bad.
What are we on the propaganda plate, Henry? Because now they're trying to figure out, well, was there a task force, an aircraft carrier group going over there? How could it be, you know, 15 or 3,000 miles away, and now it's on its way, and, well, is it really on its way? And of course, the chemical attacks, did that really happen over there in Syria? And what was the follow-up to all those missiles going off over there in Syria, Henry?
Well, you know, that's exactly it, John. You know, we're not going to go straight for the Korean wiper, and we're not going to chase it. We're going to, you know, the first article I had up actually was Trump orders probe into whether steel imports harming U.S. And this is just another move. I mean, the game continues. Like you said, Syria, you know, I think what happened is they found out that was a false flag, that didn't even happen. I mean, Assad has come out and said it, and I think the United Nations has, you know, pretty much the people around the world have seen it for what it is. And now we got to divert away from that. That was 59 love missiles shot into the desert. Why? And, you know, did the thing in Yemen with blowing up the little kids, you know, everything was, you know, do the Jews' bidding. And if things get bad, man, we'll find a distraction. And, you know, this is what we're seeing here with this article I have up here. And we're going to get into this as soon as we return from our messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, as I was saying before we went to the break, we got this Trump orders probe into rather still imports harming U.S. But, I mean, this is just, you know, it's like going, you know, left and right. He's weaving left and right. What can I get away with over here? And, you know, the whole thing, if you look at it, you step back and look at it, well, it's all centered around Israel. All of this war shit that we're, you know, like John pointed out, you know, Syria? I was just commenting to Laura this morning, John. I haven't heard about Syria in a few days. I wonder what's up with that.
And, you know, Henry, the little backstory that we never really talked about is they launched 59 love missiles, but, you know, only supposedly something like 25 made it to the target. So where did these other 39 go errant to? Where did they do? Take a detour over to Jordan or something? And what the backstory is someone had suggested, and I don't know if it's true or not, that Russia had actually shot most of those missiles down.
Well, you know, we don't even know that there were any missiles shot. I mean, 59 are gone from inventory. Maybe the Israelis are selling them to the ISIS over in Iraq.
No, you're not suggesting they would lie to us about something that could start a war. Say, like, what was it, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which actually, as McNamara admitted himself later in his life, shortly before his death, it never occurred.
Well, no more than I would think that they would see one of our ships, like the Liberty, attacked by a foreign nation. I mean, for 4 hours. Or how many hours was it, John? I mean, that's quite an attack.
The actual attack itself went on for something, what the hell was it, 2 hours? 2 hours straight almost, or 3 hours? But there was a preceding set of events, which was very low surveillance flight by Israeli combat aircraft over the U.S. Liberty for some several hours before the actual attack commenced. At one point, they came within like 150 feet of the ship, and the pilots and the guys on the deck had actually waved at each other.
Mm. So, you know, of course, if our country, if those kikes attacked one of our ships, and I mean, just that was a blatant all-out to kill you attack, even strafed people in the life rafts on the water. They would tell us about that, too, wouldn't they?
Yeah, sure, I'm sure they would, Henry. Just like they're going to admit that the Twin Towers was brought down by controlled demolition, which has already been proven.
What I see Trump doing, John, is, I mean, we said it was going to be a bums rush, that it was going to be a blitzkrieg. And you know, that's what it is. You know, he takes real hard. The Jews say, go this way, Trumpy. And Trump, I mean, you right now, you got that damn foreigner Nikki Haley, that Indian woman. She's up right in the United Nations today, you know, getting, we want things back. We want everybody back in Israel again. I guess it's going to be or else. Because Netanyahu's calling the shots now. In, you know, the Syria thing, they did it. They were told to do it. Oh, yeah, well, that's backfiring in your face. Man, well, let's run over here to Korea. We can pull out the clowns, bring out the clowns. We need a distraction. We need it fast. So out come the clowns, and now we're playing, you know, some care. Well, you know, you'd think that, well, gosh, you know, that's quite a undertaking just for a distraction. But you got to remember the contractors, the people who actually, Trump actually works for, his own people. You know, the billionaires, the 1%. Now, they brought this shit out today. I'm telling you, somebody said, man, this shit's going south, because it has been, man. There's been a lot of things back and forth over the radio and you know, just even in the mainstreams, you know, saying, you know, people are saying, hey, buddy, what happened to, we're not dropping any bombs? I'm not the president of the world. In fact, what happened to Obamacare? We ain't heard much about that either, John. He did repeal that. I mean, he said he would do it with an executive order. I mean, that was going to be his first order of business, wasn't it?
Well, that and, yeah, of course. Well, I think what happened is it got stalled because he's so busy making sure Hillary Clinton gets put in prison right now.
Oh, that's probably it. That's why he got sidetracked. Anyway, so they bring him out today. He's signing an executive order, and let's look at this. And so you go, we got to say job something, job, job, job. So here you go. Okay, Trump orders probe into whether steel imports harming U.S. This is from Yahoo News. President Donald Trump is directing the administration to investigate whether steel imports are jeopardizing U.S. national security. Ooh, I mean, well, this is something that has gradually been going. How long has this been going on, John, with the Chinese steel? I think a couple of years ago they rebuilt the Golden Gate Bridge using Chinese steel and, well, Chinese labor, too. Government contract.
That could have been partly U.S. steel, you know, from the Twin Towers, because we made sure to get rid of all the evidence from the crime scene.
That we did. In the Oval Office on Tuesday, Trump signed a memo ordering the investigation while surrounded by executives from U.S. steelmakers. So what you had in here, what he's getting ready to do here, the people that we told you who was bringing Trump in, the billionaires in this country, the people that, you know, the huge ranches, the huge farms, the steel companies, these internationalists who have eaten out our substance, who have been the aristocracy in this country since its inception through their private, through their churches and their goddamn Masonic lodges. And, well, of course, we got to do something today, but everything we do, we're going to say it's for the people, but it's always going to, I mean, have you seen him do anything yet where there wasn't a bunch of goddamn corporate 1%ers standing around him with a smile on their face? But it's for jobs. It's for you. Jobs, 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 jobs.
Well, you know what it is, Henry? I think he's so busy, wrapped up kicking all these foreign invaders out of our country, maybe that's distracted him. Because, you know, we're seeing the reports how thousands are being kicked out every day.
Well, I know, John, and you know, if they bring this steel, more of this steel production back to the United States, well, I'm betting it'll be, well, seeing as they haven't gotten rid of these son of a bitches, I bet you there'll be Mexicans, making the steel for $5 an hour. Either that, you know, at the same time, he's cozying up with the goddamn unions, you know, the whole nine yards. I mean, this guy, what he's doing, I mean, it's like a riptide when you're out on a jetty. You ever been out on a jetty with a riptide, John?
Yes, I have.
Now, you watch that son of a gun, and that it's almost like the water gets still, but you got two currents pulling in opposite directions, and it's pulling, and you'll be watching, and you look down at the end of the jetty, and man, the goddamn, there'll be a mountain building. And this is what they're doing. I mean, they go this way right here, but in the meantime, they're slipping shit in. They're slipping the shit they want in. And they had to dodge back over this way and say, well, we're going to get the steel executives today for jobs for you. Horse shit, it ain't flying. They know it ain't flying, and that wall of water is building. And when it comes down through there, man, I'm telling you what, that's when people get killed. In a 1960s trade law gives the president authority to restrict imports if they are determined to be harmful to the U.S. Security interests. The law requires that the investigation be concluded within 270 days. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, him and Wilbur put this together, John. Do you think this is for us?
Well, let's see. Who does Wilbur Ross represent? Oh, that's right. The Rothschilds, the international communists.
You betcha. I'm sure that he's looking out for you and me.
Oh, yeah. Now, just so people don't think we're making this up, Henry, what Wilbur Ross claimed to fame in his resume? Oh, that's right. He was a 24-year Rothschilds banker.
Known as the foreclosure king. Wilbur, he's looking out for us, man. You can bet on it. Then you go ahead.
No, he loves us.
Well, yes, he loves us, but don't be surprised when you look around and that U.S. steel company's got a written in Chinese and It's got Chinese workers and Chinese own all of the raw materials because U.S. Steel sold out to Wang Ching Tong Steel because of all of these laws and stuff, and they're bringing in that big money, man. I'm telling you, if steel's going to happen in this country, it ain't going to be owned by no goddamn American. Wilbur Ross says the timeline will be expedited. I'm sure it will, and boy, it'll be fun to see exactly, you know, how this unfolds. U.S. prominence in the steel industry has been slipping for decades. That's what I'm saying. But all of a sudden, it's national interest. I mean, just the way they're playing this out, it's like, yeah, we've set up this totally phony government with all these totally phony policies. And we're going to play like we're playing this policy off against this policy. And we're going to help our contractors, the ones that put us in the goddamn offices. At the same time, we go, well, we're creating you some jobs. As we've already stole so much of your country, but we want the rest. According to the Belgium-based World Steel Association, American-made steel once accounted for roughly 20% of global production, but had slipped to less than 5% by 2015. China made up less than 3% of the U.S. steel. I mean, they had to throw that in there, you know. China, it was only 3%. They saw bullshit. Who made that Golden Gate Bridge? I mean, repaired the Golden Gate Bridge, gave it the old overhaul. And it wasn't just their steel. It was their goddamn workers. Trumpy is playing us, man. Like I said, if these contractors, because they talked to, when he was sitting there signing the executive order, they talked about contracts. That's all you heard was, and that's what it was really about. Oh yeah, and we're going to get some, yeah, there's going to be jobs. Yeah, job. Yeah, let's get back to the contracts, because that's what this is really all about. And once you know, like a company like U.S. Steel, you know, it has a bunch of contracts pending, you know, like 20 years worth of bitching contracts that are worth a whole lot of money because the government's going to be buying exclusively from them, and all of the vendors that the government controls going to be buying exclusively from them. Then the Chinese can come in with some of those dollars that they lent to us to owe to them with interest, and they can buy up U.S. steel, and it'd be steel. Think that's not what's going to happen, just sit and watch it. Keep sitting there and watching it happen. This is being set up for this is the fire cell, people. Anyways, let's see what else we got going here. Seattle, King County Council approves $1.3 million in legal aid for immigrants. This is from Seattle Times, sent in by Misty. The Seattle City Council on Monday voted to create a $1 million legal defense fund for immigrants whom the federal government attempts to deport. And the Metropolitan King County Council approved $750,000 for immigrants and refugees programs, including $300,000 for the defense of people in immigration court. Oh, we got to take care of aiding and abetting? Harboring fugitives? They pull you over and you got money in your pocket. They'll take it and say, oh, that was illegally obtained and you can't use it to defend yourself.
Well, and don't forget, Henry, now they carry credit card machines. So if you don't even have money, but you have some kind of card with a magnetic strip on it, they'll just swipe it and empty it out that way.
They are efficient road bandits. You got to give them that. The city and county will distribute the money to nonprofit organizations such as the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project to do legal work. And I'll tell you what, this shit starts falling apart and they just go, hey, no, you don't have the card. You're out of here. All this money, I got to wonder what it's buying on the black market and shit, getting ready to, because if you really do intend to remove this recolonization force, you're going to have to do it. And they're going to have guns, too. And you're going to have to go and you're going to have to shoot their asses out of here. So maybe we should get some more people to contribute to these programs, you know, because these programs have never been misused. These monies have never been diverted to other causes, have they? The city and county will distribute the money to nonprofit organizations. The city and county leaders have said local immigrant families need help because of President Donald Trump. So, you know, they walk right past their own people down the goddamn streets, you know, stepping over them. You know, the American nationals have been stripped of everything and left homeless on it. They'll walk right over there. Can I give you some money, you foreign son of a bitch? Why do you think they're doing that, people? Unless they have some kind of agenda. If it was just that they can't stand to see people suffer, what about the ones they walk over, laying in the dirt, dying, that they walk over to hand the money to a foreigner? You think there might be something more behind it than compassion? Unlike in, okay, immigrant court cases are civil proceedings. I love this because, you know, they've shown that, oh, it's just a misdemeanor to invade. You know what? Well, you know what Adolf Hitler should have did when he went into Poland? He should have left the guns and just walked right in. And you know, it's not, it's most it can be is a misdemeanor because it's civil. This is civil. You're going to have, I mean, it's like this goddamn theory out here. You know, somebody moves into somebody's house. I mean, this has happened up in Colorado. The people are gone. You know, they leave their house unguarded, I guess, because it's out in the hills or something. They come back and here's a bunch of people living in their fucking house. And you would think that it would be as simple as pulling out your gun and shooting at them as they're running away. Or at minimum, the sheriff coming and hauling them off in the paddy wagon. Because that technically is your property. Well, no, it isn't. What am I saying? This is the United States. Nobody owns anything here. And that kind of proves it, doesn't it? At any rate, you know, these people, I've seen a couple of cases in Colorado. They had to go to court. These people broke into their homes and occupied them, and because they, well, you got to take them to court. That's a civil matter. And when that, you know, what's interesting, because they're coming up talking about this being civil, you know where the procedures are for your common law is the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, because I'm telling you what, they will persecute your ass under their admiralty. But these people who just deserve more of what you have. They will get your goddamn rights right on top of it. This is giving them what they would not give you. Man, I tell you, I've nailed judges in the court before, you know, holding them on the jurisdiction. And when I get them down to, well, this ain't civil because, well, I have been served no civil complaint. And this, well, it ain't criminal because I ain't seen no indictment. So what exactly are you, do you have me in this court under? What jurisdiction? Oh, it's an administrative jurisdiction where we can arrest you, unlike in a civil jurisdiction. But, and of course, Judge, you can tell me, because I intend to defend myself and I want to do so intelligently. You can tell me where I can get a copy of the Federal Rules of Procedure for an administrative court, right? And I've had them get up and walk off. Just walk off the goddamn bench. I ain't kidding you. Because it doesn't exist. This is the protections we're supposed to have that we're being denied. And they're gonna, enable this invasion force to stay here using the goddamn rights we're being deprived of, people. If there isn't outrage over that, you people aren't human. Because that's what's going on here. Immigration court cases are civil proceedings because living in the country illegally is a civil violation rather than a crime. You didn't wear your seatbelt? Now we got a fucking crime now, buddy. Taillight out? Now there's a fucking crime. That ain't civil. And it ain't criminal either, people. What they're doing is, like I've been telling you people, they're taking out, selecting the common law jurisdictions to say you can't touch these people because they got the rights that we're doing. Because we're the local authorities and we're the boots on the ground. We can deny them to everybody else around here. But these people who have no goddamn right to them, these invaders, we can say they're theirs. You want to argue against the common law that you have no jurisdiction, no authority over? The goddamn government, these son of a bitches, they know this. The lawyers, they're the ones that perpetrated it. They know that the government truly cannot come into a common law court. It's forbidden, but these guys can't hold a common law court. They're just saying, you know, but they could. Because it wouldn't be an honest to God common law court because they're members of the bar. Will be sitting on the bench. These son of a bitches doing this shit are members of the bar sitting on the bench. And that makes the jurisdiction not common law. But I mean, if you've already, conned the people and stupided them down to not even know that such a jurisdiction exists, I guess you could pull it out at a whim. Everybody will just, well, think them goddamn, them foreigners some lucky son of a bitches. Look at them go to court and goddamn government won't mess with them. Wish I had them kind of rights. Me too. But that's what we're seeing here, people. Unlike criminal cases, more than one-third of people with immigration court cases in Seattle and more than 90% of those with cases in Tacoma lack legal representation, according to Council Member M. Lorena Gonzalez, who proposed the city fund with Council Member Tim Burgess. So you got Lorena Gonzalez. I think that the people of Seattle should help fund my people coming here illegally and force it on the rest of you. Because that's what you're talking about here, people. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We will be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Let's go hang out in a mall. All mall. Smoke is born. Let's go hang out in a church. We'll go find lunch, and we'll haul ass down through the abbey. Is it money, is it fame? What's in a name? Shame. Is it money, is it fame? Or were they always this name?
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Turning further.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Scheisler, Post Office Box 964, Chiliquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Scheisler. It is 1238 Pacific Time. That course was Kid Rock, Born Free. And John, we got another article here that's I find kind of confusing. Maybe you can help me out on it. U.S. approves $295.6 million military equipment sale to Iraq. It's from the Pentagon.
Okay, so what's confusing about that?
Well, is it like ISIS needs new equipment, or?
Well, of course, because, you know, it's not the Iraqi army that's going to get it. It's going to go straight to ISIS. Oh, remember, Henry, the artist formerly known as ISIS.
And where did ISIS get that their original equipment, John?
Well, that came straight from us also.
And weren't they the Iraqi
Except
army?
Except the Toyota trucks. Now, remember the pictures of those long strings, those long runs of brand-new Toyota 4Runner trucks? Those came straight from the dealership.
Oh, well, Toyota's got to make their money, too, I suppose.
They've been making some money, Henry. This has been great advertisement for them. Plus, think of the maintenance contracts they got with that.
Maybe they could afford to seal up Fukushima. Who knows? But yeah, you know, that's the first thing that popped in my head. Man, they left, this is about what they left out there. Supposedly the Iraqi army guys they walked away from it, and these ISIS guys walked up, and they knew how to run every goddamn bit of it. It was weird. It was like they'd been well trained to do it.
The instructions on all that American equipment is written in English. And of course, just luckily, either there was a translation on the equipment in Arabic, or all those Arab people knew how to, read and write English.
Of course they did, John. I'm just being conspiratorial to aggravate you. The U.S. Department has, the U.S. State Department has approved the sale of $295.6 million worth of military equipment to Iraq for artillery and infantry. Kurdish. Now, first time I've heard of these guys, John. For artillery and infantry, Kurdish Peshmerga units. A Pentagon agent.
Yeah, Peshmerga. Yeah, I have mentioned them once or twice. They're not something new. They've been in existence, or at least we've been hearing about them for once in a while. They would throw their name out there, probably in the last year or so.
No chance when they get this equipment that they'll throw on black shirts and become Al Qaeda, would they?
Oh, no. They're going to make them sign a little piece of paper that says they swear they'll never use that against American troops.
You think about that equipment left over there in Iraq. How many people, Americans have been killed with it? How many Iraqis? Man, think about that, people. Now, let's sell them some more.
Think about the Vietnam War. All that equipment that was used to kill Americans, that came from Russia. Where did Russia get it? Oh, that's right. The financing, the factories, the technology, and the raw materials all came from us.
No way they would handle this through Israeli contractors. I mean, being sold to Iraq, would they, John?
No. Maybe.
Congress was notified of the approval from must have been Netanyahu that notified him. Congress was notified of the approval on Tuesday, and the notice does not mean the sale has been concluded, the agency said. I mean, like we were talking at the beginning of the program, you're watching Netanyahu's agenda unfold right before your eyes as Trump, you know, people start going, hey, what's going on here, man? And, oh, ping pong ball, man, look out, this crazy little psycho clown, he's coming to get you. I heard he might blow up New Jersey, my friend.
Well, either that or he's going to get an even worse hairdo.
Is there such a thing? Anyways, there was one more here I really want to get into.
You, Henry, I really do.
There's a couple here I want to get into, but this is why you and I are talking here.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking about getting a hairdo like that, you know, for Halloween or something. I'm going to go around as the Korean ping pong ball. I thought I'd just get that hairdo and see if that alone is all I need. And people will look at me and say, oh, you're Kim Jong-un.
God, dude, I wanted it too, but I was afraid the electrical jolt might stop my heart. When federal grants come with vaccine mandates, this is from Nature of Healing, sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion.
Now, Henry, they're not going to start requiring that and then extend that program into people who get, say, Social Security checks, people who work for the federal government, people who get any kind of disability checks. You know, well, to get your checks, you're going to have to get these vaccines injected in you.
That'd be violating our rights, and they wouldn't do that, John. Medical freedom is at risk in every state of the union.
No, say it ain't so, Henry.
Wait a minute. State of...
It's at risk, Henry. They haven't violated our medical freedom yet. It's only at risk right now.
It's only at risk, but it must be a serious risk because this headline jumps out at you. Medical freedom is at risk in every state of the nation under vaccine mandates. Since the removal of religious and personal belief vaccine exemptions by the state of California under law SB 277, the federal government is widening the net to go after states by region through block grants for early childhood programs. And this is just so ironic. You know, I've told you guys about the allocations that used to, I mean, this is the lawful way to allocate money, has to be through, you can't only, if you did it any other way, it'd be treason. Well, they're doing it another way since Billy Clinton. It's called the grant system. And this is what I'm talking about. Anything that would have come with an allocation of Congress would have to have right in there that the Bill of Rights, all your rights must be observed. You cannot violate a right using federal money. But these grants, see, these are granted to corporations, corporations operating under the Uniform Commercial Code. And under the Uniform Commercial Code, well, you're considered a client, a property client. And you have no rights. You can go to them and have a mediation with them to see if they're wrong about something they're doing. But it just don't ever seem to turn out in your favor. And here you have your rights being removed through this grant system. I've warned you guys about that. That is so fucking illegal. Nobody ever talked about it. That is so illegal. You talk about just the government saying, you know, screw you people and what we wrote on this piece of paper. We're doing it this way. The government's message is, if you want federal assistance, ante up and remove the religious and philosophical exemptions for vaccines. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services set a trap under the Child Care Development Fund when it sent conditional approval letters to states for fiscal year 2016 through 2018 that conditionally approve early child care programs until all new requirements are fully implemented, including the removal of vaccine and exemptions. Get ready to shoot them right in their face. The U.S. Department of Health and Human... concern that the government overstepped its boundary. Oh, do you think so? Boy, when this here, we can say concern. It may have stepped over its bounds. You can figure your Bill of Rights is buried. Concerned that the government overstepped its bounds, the people in Region 4, the states of Pennsylvania, Ohio, New Jersey, Texas, Michigan, Wisconsin, and others organized, stood their ground, and responded to the secretary of the HHS in a letter from Jeff Schott, Esquire of the Pennsylvania Medical Freedom Alliance, whose expertise and passion was instrumental in their success. To the contrary, 45 CFR 98.34 provides that, quote, nothing under this part should be construed or applied in any manner to infringe on or usurp the moral and legal rights and responsibilities of parents or legal guardians. Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom referred to Ohio's Constitution. All men have a natural indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to their dictates of their own conscience. No person shall be compelled to attend, erect, or support any place of worship or maintain any form of worship against his consent, and no preference shall be given by law to any religious society, or shall any interferences with rights of conscience or interference is the word. Now, can I say interference? I can't look at it and say it. Interference with the rights of conscience be permitted. So what they're saying here is, you know, this religious exemption. But I'm going to tell you guys something. That's a bullshit argument. This is why they're doing it this way. I don't want to hear the religious argument. I just said no, period. I don't give you, got to give you a goddamn reason. I don't have to say it's because I think God would not. No, I don't got to tell you nothing. It is my goddamn right to believe anything, and it doesn't have to be a guy. I can just believe I don't like vaccines, and that's all there is to it. Try to step past that belief, you'll catch a bullet in the head. I mean, this is so overbearing. I got the next article. You'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, this will get your blood up, shit like this. But let's go on and look at these people who are finally discovered uranium that, you know, this diabolical government's just seizing power left and right. That, hey, we never granted that. The acting director of the Office of Child Care, Health and Human Services, Elaine or Ellen Wheatley responded. This is how the communists responded back. After further review, I mean, because the communists, they got, you know, they got caught in their hand in the cookie jar. You're doing so. You're doing what? You're going to make a federal dictate. You're going to what? But it still comes down to states' rights. States, not, never a mention of the people and their absolute goddamn authority and absolute rights. It's just state thing, you know, because the state's what protects you. Yeah, you goddamn right. I've seen them. After further review and consideration of the relevant requirements, the Office of Child Care has determined that states have flexibility to determine how to address this specific issue. Therefore, no state will be under a corrective action plan for allowable reasons, for example, children from exempting children from immunization requirements. And it says busted, but you know, still these people here, they're still half a bubble off plum. Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom went on to went one step further and took the matter to the Board of Education, held a hearing, and provided testimony that convinced the BOE, that would be the, I guess, the Board of Education, on April 11, 2017, to pass a resolution supporting and advocating for personal rights and immunization. I don't need no Board of Education. I don't need none of your goddamn government shit. Affirming my rights or judging my rights, stay the fuck away from me. They aren't, they're not for you to even look at, you piece of shit. But this is the kind of thing, like I said. Now, if they can say yeah, they can say no. Now, can't they? In a nation.
I love how they're going to affirm something that was already there. This is like, you know, putting together a scientific team to tell everybody, yeah, yep, the sun comes up every morning. You're right, and we affirmed it.
You bet, but what they're saying here, John, is, yeah, you do have that right. Well, because we said so. Otherwise, it might be otherwise if we don't say so, right? I mean, I don't need no one to, no government piece of low-life, parasitic shit, public servant to tell me anything about my rights. Just stay away from me and respect my rights, and you'll live longer. Ignorance, from the Latin, ignora. To know, I mean, this, if you tell me this, if these people are, now this is where they start talking about the breakdown of the, of, you know, our rights and the fact that the government's seizing power, but listen how they come into this. Like we haven't seen, like I said, they discovered uranium here, John. Ignorance from the Latin, ignora. To know, to not know even though necessary information is present because that information has been willfully refused or discarded. This, yeah, really? That happened to you too, huh? The Congressional Research Service attorneys who research for Congress concluded in 2009 that the federal government does not have authority to mandate vaccines for states' residents. But see, what they're trying, the presidents are trying to say is, well, states can. No, the state can't. I will shoot your state ass as fast as I'll shoot your fucking federal ass. Try it. But this is the, you got to understand what they're trying. They're here helping you. But what they're doing here is they're setting the trap. Mandate vaccines for state residents, which would necessarily mean that they also cannot remove or otherwise control state exemptions. But the state can. That's, it's just like Obama didn't have the authority to give our country aid. Only Congress can do that. Nuh-uh. We're not going to buy these cheap-ass cons, because that's what, you know, this whole Trump thing has been, just a cheap-ass con. I mean, he's a petty goddamn con, man. I fart in his general direction. The Congressional Research, okay, the attorneys, okay, no mandatory vaccination programs are specifically authorized, nor do there appear to be any regulations regarding the implementation of a mandatory vaccine program at the federal level, because they can't. You see, this is where this whole thing is coming together. They're making, they've got two factions, and they want to use parts of what belongs to us, the real power. We are the people that decide this shit. It is our goddamn country. It is our authority that they're both trying to weld against each other in these different ways. Well, I'll step up as a school board because we're very powerful. No, a school board ain't shit. It shouldn't even exist unless you're under a socialist state. Even without authority, the federal push and shove is coming in the form of the Healthy People 2020 Act, which mandates cradle-to-grave vaccines for all ages. Your body becomes the property of the federal government unless we do our job. Boy, these people are figuring, like I said, it finally came into their world. It's wonderful to see these people when it finally comes into their world and they think, we got a man, what do they think? Well, we'll stop this. You better get your gun. In America, we the people are experiencing a major breach in the protections afforded to the people under the law. We can no longer depend on the feds to police itself. Really? When could ya? People must make themselves aware of the tactics now being used against them. Stand their ground and be responsible for the freedoms that are draining away. Oh boy, they, you know, finally hit their goddamn subject here, man. It's time to lay down. Goddamn, you can, I mean, you know, all your other freedom, you got 10 million infringements on your Bill of Rights, but hey, they've crossed the line. This is what I'm talking about. All these years, people, that false left-right paradigm, I'm going out and vote a straight Democratic ticket. Well, I vote a straight Republican ticket. I can't see out. We were just going back and forth all the time. You're acquiescing, and they're driving the knife in from the left, and they're diving the knife in from the right, and they're cutting out your Bill of Rights. And then finally, it comes down to, you know, all of those agendas that you voted for, because you never voted for anybody, you know, more than the people that went out and the retards that thought they were voting. I'm voting for Trump. You voted for the Republican agenda. You voted for a gang of millionaires, billionaires. Oh, I mean, millions seems like to me. I know they're billionaires, probably trillionaires. But that's what you voted for. And now that's what you got, and that's what you're seeing in action. So, I mean, like shit like this, when they're playing these games, this is lawyer shit. This comes out of the think tanks. Oh, always remember, if somebody can give you something, they can take it away. And the bottom line is here, this is something that can't be touched. No, you can't give me nothing stronger than the Bill of Rights. I'm sorry, you don't possess it. You can't. Ninth article says no such power can exist in this country above that Bill of Rights. We function best when we can organize, oh boy, I love it, work together and use models that work to preserve inherent rights. Oh, inherent, boy, aren't they getting technical. What are them inherent rights? I bet you could set these people down and 9 out of 10 of them couldn't tell you one of their goddamn Bill of Rights. They couldn't tell you, not even one section. 90% of these people. I'm saying there are people out here the regular folk, they're waking up because, man, I better go see what the hell that goddamn contract says. We're going to have to enforce it. It's what I'm understanding from the other people around me. Once taken away, it becomes difficult to take them back. Whoa, John, have they discovered goddamn uranium or what? You mean you let them take your rights away and they don't want to give them back? Could they ever take them? If they could take them, can they give them? I mean, it's such a conundrum. I don't even know what bathroom to go in anymore. OAMF, that's OAMF and PAMFA, catalyzed a change that preserved medical freedom from vaccine mandates due to administrative shifts for all 50 states. Continued vigilance and monitoring of government is necessary when rights are threatened with each new budget. Your opinion, John? John?
It's a sham piece.
What goddamn course it is. I mean, but the thing is, they'll put up both sides of an argument. I mean, both factions. I mean, it's like people not understanding that why didn't Trump get rid of Hillary? Because of the same people. They're just putting different actors up in front of you there, and they'll pretend to be against each other. It's like in the Congress or the Senate. God damn them Republicans. God damn them Democrats.
Well, Henry, they didn't even bother to do that. Trump couldn't even fire James Comey.
No, we couldn't. And as they're saying, damn them Democrats. Damn them Republicans. Damn you. We have a vote on some more foreign aid for Israel. You don't hear no dissent then, do you? Because when you're speaking to the master, you just says, yes, sir. But, I mean, when they're playing these, because what they're playing with is fire here, people. You come and tell me you're going to stick a needle in one of my children, I will blow your head. I don't give a shit what happens the next second, the next minute, the next hour, the next 40 years. Your fucking head is going to be blowed off, period. And you can't stop it. You need to leave people alone. I mean, that's what this country was supposed to be about, is being able to live your life and be left alone and never... Man, you go back to when they were selling that sham of a constitution. Never, ever would the government even think of trying to oppress the people or steal their wealth. Never. All we're here for is to further enhance and protect your rights and protect the sovereignty, protect this country. We love you. You betcha. And then when they tell, you know, again, when we get, I pop back to the other story with them giving all the money to the illegals as they're stepping over our own. Man, at some point you have to wake up and see, you know, smell the coffee, see what's going on. This country is being recolonized, period. And Trump is doing nothing. We, you know, we talked about 21,000 a day, people. And here you got here, they're getting lawyers to stop you from getting one. This, I mean, you do, this is no little tiny thing. We can work a little bit on it today, tomorrow. If you were really serious about clearing this country out, man, I'm telling you, it would be a large, how large a scale operation to move, you know, 50, 60, 80, I think 100 million people in this country that aren't supposed to be here. Anyways, we're going to roll across. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
You're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. On this thoroughly confusing Thursday, the 20th day of April, 2017, I'm your host, Henry Shively, and I do believe it's 1 o'clock, which means I do believe it's time for the Tactical Report with J.D., U.S. Marine, Fighting Tyranny. John, you have the floor.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. Continuing on with our station identification, you are listening to the Tactical Report. Oh, wait, what am I doing here? I got my papers mixed up. Let me see. Now, that's that one. That's that one. Okay, here we go. I have the wrong page in my hand there. You are listening to the Tactical Report on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson, or as some people know it, Oregon, simulcast on Indiana Freedom Talk Radio. Joe in the Carolinas, Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Good Old Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other microbroadcasts and webcasts across our great nation and around the world. If you'd like to call live, call online. Our number is 641-715-3610. And a very nice... Ebola, anthrax, measles, avian flu, Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome, severe acute respiratory syndrome, bubonic plague, polio, Lyme disease, Legionnaire's disease, chickenpox, West Nile fever, yellow fever, and of course, everybody's favorite Zionist Jew communist media sensation, a Zika free lady will come on the line and ask you what conference room you want. And that number is 220029 and the pound sign. And don't forget, at the end of the Tactical Report, I do open the floor for any questions or comments, but you do need to hit star 6 to manually unmute. All right, let's get going. Now, remember, I mentioned all those diseases. Now, think back. Oh, think back to the ancient history. Think back to the etchings in the stone, to the papyrus that they found over there in the Dead Sea. You know, it was part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. They talked about this stuff. And, oh, you know, there was even them clay tablets written in Sumerian, ancient Sumerian, you know, in cuneiform. And they talked about all these diseases. Remember way back when? I mean, God, we're going back almost 2 years ago. Every one of these diseases was a national, and in fact, most were international headlines. And they were talking about how it was just suddenly flared up. They didn't explain how, but just suddenly flared up. And it was going from person to person, house to house, town to town, city to city, country to country, and my God, continent to continent. And you were supposed to be terrified, because especially since Ebola, which was had broken out over there in Africa, well, it wasn't here in America. Oh, wait, that's right. So they flew some people into this country who had it, or at least that's what we were told. And, of course, they even put on a little production for us to believe it. You remember, they pulled out that bio-level 3 containment unit as they pulled him out of the hospital. It was the clear vinyl, and you could see he had his oxygen mask on, and you had the medical care workers there moving the gurney with him, and they were wearing their little safety suits. And, of course, just about 6 or 7 feet away was a reporter standing there in his summer garb. No protection of any kind. Well, maybe he had a little Trojan in his top left pocket there, but that's not the kind of protection I'm talking about now, is it? Of course not. Now, remember, people, all of that was a media pandemic, meaning there was no germ. Now, it doesn't mean these germs don't exist by all accounts. By everything I found in my research, yeah, these diseases, these engineered pathogens do exist, but thank God, you know, for their little play production there that they were doing 6 months ago, a year ago, and a year and a half ago, it looks like they didn't actually let any of those little buggers out of the test tube. But that doesn't mean they won't. Remember what I told you? The ultimate gambit to get, what is it called? Oh, that's right, martial law. The ultimate gambit to get martial law going will be an epidemic or a pandemic, because that's when they've declared that they're going to be able to shut down entire cities. Remember CDC just declared that suddenly, poof, like the UN creating a country called Israel out of nothingness, that the CDC now suddenly have the ability to quarantine any person, any county. In fact, they could even just quarantine entire cities if they suddenly just felt like it, meaning they had complete dictatorial control. Poof. The power came out of nowhere, people. So remember, just because all the past ones have been nothing more than a little media gambit, doesn't mean they may not actually release one of those little buggers just so they can institute martial law. And it's the perfect form to do martial law with, because people will willingly comply, because people are so afraid of the mere thought of catching one of these little buggers. Even though you can't see, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, and nobody has ever actually really experienced these except for maybe one or two people that, you know, the CIA tested them on. But people are afraid of them. And because of that fear, remember, fear is, what did I tell you? That's right, the mechanism of control. Whatever the mode is that they're going to exercise to declare martial law when they're ready to make their move, you can be damn sure it's going to be based on fear. It has to be. Otherwise, people won't cooperate. So the pandemic or the epidemic gambit, it's still a legitimate option on the table as far as they're concerned. So just because we've been lucky, actually we've been lucky that they've never actually released one of these buggers into the environment for real, doesn't mean they won't do it at some point in the future if it gets down to that's what they have to do to take their agenda to the next level. They will do it, people. And that's why we need to get rid of them before they get rid of us. Let's get going with IFTT PSA, from the trenches, public service announcements. Now, of course, we always start off by recognizing a very simple fact. There is no country of Israel. It doesn't exist. It's a fantasy land. It's Shangri-La that FDR talked about. Now, remember we had that little thing where we launched what the hell were they, B-24s or B-25 Mitchells, I think it was, when we had our first reprisal attack on Japan in World War II. Now, Japan attacked us because we helped them. In fact, the only way Japan could have attacked America, Pearl Harbor, was with our complete and full assistance. Otherwise, there was no way for them to do it. But after that, oh, now we have to put on the display. We have to continue that theater. Japan, bad. We have to strike back. The Empire Strikes Back. Remember that? Yeah, that was a movie. But this was real over there in World War II. Some people died. But you know what? We have to put on the theater that a lot more people were going to have to die before we could resolve this issue created by the Zionist Jews, which became known as World War II. Well, we launched those B-24s, or B-25s, if I remember right. If I remember right, the ship was the USS Hornet. Forgive me if I'm forgetting it. I mean, I'm just doing this off the top of my head here. Sometimes I kind of jumble my facts. But if I remember right, they launched that off the USS Hornet. And then, of course, what was the Doolittle Raids. That was it. The Doolittle Raids. And it was a complete fantasy, people, that when they asked FDR, when the reporters asked FDR, where did you launch those planes from? Because, of course, the movement of the Hornet with the Doolittle on it and the B-25s that were launched off the deck of the Hornet, that was classified information. So FDR wasn't going to tell them that we had our task force still out there in the South Pacific, because the Japanese could have caught up with them, or at least could have intercepted them. If the Japanese cruisers or destroyers were out there floating anywhere near them, they would have been hunting for them, as I'm sure they were. So FDR gave the coy answer. They were launched from Shangri-La, the mythical land. Well, that's what Israel is, people. It's a mythical land. It doesn't exist. It's a figment of somebody's imagination. Whose imagination? Well, who benefits? Qui bono, or the Romans used to say also, qui protista, who benefits, right? So it's almost the same thing. There's actually a slight difference in the meaning, but qui bono, who benefits, who gains from this? Well, who's going to gain from a mythical place called Israel? Oh, that's right, that's some Zionist Jew scumbags. Now, they are real, but they're also a real franchise. That's what Israel actually is. Well, think about this. We've got something called the U.S. military, and they exist in all these other countries, but we don't suddenly rename all those countries America. They may be our vassal state, but we don't rename them just because they're under American occupation. Well, it's the same thing with Palestine. It's under Israeli occupation, but that doesn't make it Israel. Now, does it? Of course it doesn't. And we let them know that, well, you know what? We're pretty darn smart people. After all, we helped make the 19th century, we created the 20th century, and we certainly helped create the 21st century, and we're doing our best to destroy it at the same time. And we let them know that we are that kind of smart people, that we do figure things out with a little tiny global program called BDS, Boycott, Divest, and Sanction, which means you don't give any kind of monetary, financial, moral, or political support to the international terrorist organization called Israel, or anyone who supports international terrorism, like Starbucks Commie Coffee. Because when you have a cup of Starbucks Commie Coffee and you get to experience that god-awful, bitter aftertaste, that is all the innocent people who have been slaughtered in all these Zionist Jew-created wars. Going on, let's get moving here. We've got our Bill of Rights segment. Now, we're going to go over this one more time because we did mention it yesterday. Now, in our Bill of Rights, which is the superior body of law? Why is it our superior body of law? Article 9. Oh, what does Article 9 say? Well, let's read it. In fact, I don't have to read this because I actually got this one memorized along with some of the others. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed, shall not be used, shall not be distorted to deny or disparage the rights retained by the people. This is what this says. Now, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights. What certain rights are in the Constitution? Well, what is the Constitution? Well, it's our owner's operator's manual for what we call a limited form of representative government. That is, it describes the purpose, structure, and qualifications to serve in what we call our government. And there are seven major sections within the Constitution. Now notice, we don't have seven constitutions, we have one. In that one constitution are seven major subject matters, or what they call articles. What do those articles do? Well, they describe the form, the function, and the qualifications to serve in the respective parts of that government. Well, we know about the three major sections of government: legislative, executive, and judicial. And that's the first three articles right there: the form, the function, and the qualifications to serve in them. And then there's another four sections after that. And remember what my little memory mnemonic is? Because it follows right in the very order that they are in the Constitution in. And that's liege, ran, r. L-E-J, liege, ran, r-a-n, and then there's an r at the end. So liege, ran, r. Legislative, executive, judicial, republican, amending, national, ratification. Well, legislative, it's the form, the function, and the qualifications to serve in the legislative branch, the branch tasked with making the laws of this country. Executive, the form, the function, and the qualifications to serve in the executive branch, which is charged with enforcing the law. The executive branch has zero authority or capability to write a single law. In fact, it can't even change a period in a single law. It can't even add a space in a single law, because the moment you alter the law to the tune of so much as one punctuation mark, you change the meaning of the law. Or what you've done is you've created a new law, which the executive branch does not have the power to do. Only the legislative branch can do that. Then you have the judicial, the form, the function, and the qualifications to serve in that. And then, as Henry has talked about, the judicial branch was really about making sure we had our common law courts. And for any question over there in government world, that is in this little tiny limited form of government, when there was questions between them about how to use the Constitution properly, that's what the Supreme Court was for, to help them stay within their guideline, the Constitution. The Supreme Court was never, ever intended to tell us what the interpretation is of our rights, or to settle disputes between us, between the American people. That's not its function. It never was. Then you've got Republican, R, because every state is guaranteed a Republican form of government. A, amending. How do you make changes to this operating manual? Well, that's listed there in Article 5. Article 6, national. National debt. Now, personally, I think they shouldn't have even had that in there, because it should have said, no, we will never, ever allow debt. If you can't pay for it, you're not going to do it. It's that simple. But they incorporated the national debt, or the notion of being able to deal with debt as a nation. And then R, ratification. And this was interesting, because even though the Constitution was not a legal document yet, they incorporated the procedure, the process, to pass the Constitution, even though it wasn't the document on how to do that yet. Yeah, people, we were played. Anyway, that's your seven major sections. And it always leads me to the distinction that we don't have 10 bills of rights, do we? We have a bill of rights, singular. And in that singular bill of rights, there are 10 major sections called articles. And everyone always says the Second Amendment, your right to own and bear firearms. No, it's the second article of the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights was one bill. It was voted on once. It was passed once. They didn't do it for each and every article within the Bill of Rights. That's why the components, the major sections within the Bill of Rights, are called articles and not bills or amendments, because they were not legislated individually. It was legislated as a single bill annotating 10 distinct articles about what our unalienable rights are. And what really made them unalienable was Article 9, because Article 9 says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights. What certain rights? Well, the certain rights that we're going to have to grant this artificial class of people called civil servants, congressmen, senators, and of course, judges, to name a few. and of course ambassadors and envoys and stuff like that, that's mentioned. We had to grant them certain rights as these government servants to carry out their duties. That's the certain rights. But it also says quite distinctly here, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights, the ability for them to actually carry on their designated job, shall not be construed, shall not be used, distorted, twisted, to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Other what? Well, what was the subject matter of the previous sentence? Rights. So it shall not be construed to deny or disparage rights retained by the people. What rights? Well, again, luckily, they passed a little laundry list of what they were called, the Bill of Rights. And that's why it's unalienable, because it says there was nothing in the Constitution, there was nothing that existed in the Constitution by which they could make changes, alterations to our unalienable rights, the Bill of Rights, nor was there anything that can be created by the Constitution by which they can attack, undermine, eviscerate, hollow out, deny, or disparage the Bill of Rights. That's why it's called unalienable. Going on. Let's take a look at some interesting articles. Oh, and there's a reminder. Tomorrow's show, Friday, we're going to have a special broadcast, and we're going to go right into it. In fact, I got to make a call right after the show. I'm going to be speaking with old Pete Hendrickson again. We've already spoken. But me and him are going to go over a rough format for what the show. And again, you know, just a bullet point format, you know, probably no more than four or five subject lines, you know, talking about how we want to approach this and make sure we incorporate periodic Q&A sessions, question and answer sessions. And we're going to cut it off. We're going to dedicate, you know, when we have a question and answer session for old Pete tomorrow. And Pete was the author of Cracking the Code, about how to get your money back perfectly legally from the IRS, who took your money in actuality illegally. So we're going to have the author of that come up, and we're going to have him discuss, how did he discover this? What was the process? You know, how long did it take him to write this book? What was his inspiration for writing the book? And what have been some of the consequences of publishing these kinds of facts and, you know, educating American people about the fact that they're getting ripped off? So here's how you get your money back. Well, we're going to be discussing all that, and we're going to incorporate little question and answer sessions, but we're going to be sure to limit it, because otherwise people can go off on a tangent, start asking question after question after question. So we're going to limit it to probably 3 or 4 minutes per question and answer session. This way we don't cut off all the other material because we run out of time altogether. So we'll be doing that tomorrow, and this is a reminder, if you're going to miss any show, tomorrow is not the show you want to miss. It's going to be an interesting one. So that's a quick reminder about that. And now let's get moving on with a couple of interesting articles over in Government Slaves. Well, guess what, people? This loving government, they just love us so much that they're going to demand that they can inject you with poisons anytime they want. But God help you if you try to drink certain poisons. Well, they have something to say about that. Like this. Montana legislators claim raw milk is poison. I mean, how out of their effing minds are these people now? I mean, and we talked about this. Remember me and Henry warned you about a year ago, in fact, about 6 months ago, 9 months ago, a year ago, and 15 months ago, and 18 months ago, and 2 years ago, and 2.5 years ago, as we got closer and closer to them going all out to go for their overt installation of communism in this country, we're going to be entering bizarro world completely, unhindered. Well, here's an example of that. I mean, you got to be existing on bizarro world to even begin to buy this kind of crap. You got to be insane to even offer it up. Montana legislatures claim raw milk is poison. And so, of course, they don't want you to drink that poison. Oh, they can inject you in it, inject you with poison, but God help you, you try and drink something as poisonous as raw milk. Raw milk is illegal in Montana, as the state's Senate killed a bill that would have allowed for limited sales of unpasteurized product. It does not provide adequate disease, drug, or antibiotic testing. Krista Lee Evans said of House Bill HB 325. Evans represented the Montana Milk Producers Association. Oh, well, thank God they picked somebody who has no financial interest in this. Others agreed. We have found through the years and years of public health work that pasteurization does its work. State Senator Jill Colherney, a Democrat, I'm sure after she got her payoff, said it protects us from the sicknesses that can come from raw milk. HB 325 would have allowed farmers to sell raw cow, sheep, and goat milk directly to the public, Ag Weekly reported. Sale of raw milk in retail stores would have been illegal. Anyway, you get the idea. Yes, people, apparently, raw milk, you know, the stuff that people have been drinking for thousands of years? Well, it's been classified a poison now. I hope you feel so much better that these psychopaths are looking out for your good interests. Excuse me, I had to cough there. All right, let's go on. All right, I like this. Remember Trump, he's going to make America great again, and he's going to be a transparent president. He's not going to be like his predecessors in any way. Yeah, let's see here. Over in Yahoo News, White House says Trump won't release his 2016 taxes either. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said Monday afternoon that President Trump does not plan to release his 2016 tax returns. During the daily press briefing, Emin Javers, the Washington correspondent for CNBC, asked Spicer if the president would release his tax documents for 2016, quote, given that we can assume maybe that those are not themselves under audit, end quote. Spicer quickly rejected the premise of the question. Spicer said, the president is under audit. It's a routine one. It continues, and I think the American public know clearly where he stands. This is something that he made very clear during the election cycle. You know, like the spin-rinse propaganda cycle, as I always call it. Spicer said, I think the people understand how successful the president has been and how much he's paid in taxes. We're under the same audit that existed, and so nothing has changed. And it goes on talking about this. So you know what? Screw you, American people. You don't have a right to know what kind of money he gets or where it's coming from. Because remember, according to President Trump, you're not even allowed to know who entered the White House now. Remember that? They are now going to be redacting the visitor's log. In fact, they're going to go beyond redacting. In fact, what they're going to do is classify the visitor's log so they don't have to tell you. They're not required to tell you anymore who's been visiting the White House. And for what purpose? Going on. Now, this is an interesting article, if I can get it to come up. I'm not going to read the whole article, but I did want to read the headlines. This was referred to by someone else in another article, so I looked this up. And I says, oh, this is pretty interesting. Over in Activist Post. This was actually out last year, October 17th, 2016. Now, I don't remember this. I may have glanced over it, but I don't think I had because I certainly would have remembered it. But here's the headline. Clinton's FBI files literally mention, quote, the shadow government, end quote, at the State Department. Wow. Now, remember, the shadow government, that's one of them Peter Dale Scott's terms that he coined. He's written numerous books. You know, when I listened to an interview with Peter Dale Scott recently, and I don't exactly know when the interview was, from the nature of what he was talking about, it sounded like it was all within the last year or so, maybe the last year and a half, so it did sound fairly recent. And I'll tell you what, Peter Dale Scott, he's another one of these shills, people, another propaganda agent. Now, he does talk about some of the stuff that they're doing, but he's very quick to make excuses for them, like they didn't realize it would have that effect. You know, the president doesn't know everything the CIA is doing. You know, Israel exerts more than undue influence over our Senate. You know, those kinds of excuses rather than just saying clearly, Trump's part of the national fascists. Israel runs this country top to bottom because they are the proxies for the international communists, especially like the Browns, the Harrimans, the Warburgs, and, of course, the Rothschilds, which Peter Dale Scott, for some strange reason, always seems to fail to mention. Well, anyway, over here in this one, talking about Clinton and the shadow government. Now, remember, Clinton's supposed to be in jail by now, or at least that's what the presumptive presidential candidate, Trump, had said in one of their last debates. Remember that when they were having their little round of debates there? They had, what, four or five altogether or something like that? And in one of the debates, I think he's stepping up to the lector, or Hillary's stepping up to the lector, she made some kind of comment. And Trump turns around and says, right there on national television, well, if I was president, you'd be in jail. Well, technically, at least according to them, he is president. So the question is, why isn't she in jail? It's not like there's a lack of evidence anywhere. Let's see what this article says real quick. I just want to read a paragraph or two. Bill Clinton once reportedly told senior White House reporter Sarah McClendon, quote, Sarah, there's a government inside the government, and I don't control it. Goes on to say, average citizens who talk about things like that, however, are typically referred to as conspiracy theories, as if it's a pejorative term. And that's supposed to be a bad thing. Then again, how much of a conspiracy theory is it when the FBI's own documents confirm the existence of something referred to as the shadow government? From page 56 of the FBI file on the Clinton investigation, which was also posted in Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T. There was a powerful group of very high-ranking state officials that some refer to as the Seventh Floor Group. The Seventh Floor Group, or the Shadow Government. That's right, people, the Shadow Government. This group met every Wednesday afternoon to discuss the FOIA requests, and that's Freedom of Information Act process, congressional records, and anything Clinton-related to FOIA congressional inquiries. The known regular attendees included Jonathan Finer, Chief of Staff for Secretary of State John Kerry, Jennifer Stout, Deputy Chief of Staff, Heather Higginbottom, that doesn't sound like a real name, right? Higginbottom, Deputy Secretary of State for Management of Resources, Kennedy, Julia Freeland, Assistant Secretary, Legislative Affairs, and then there's a whole bunch of blocked out names. But this is right out of the supposed FBI files, where they talk about this seventh floor group, also known as the shadow government. And that's right there in the FBI file. So people, guess what? I guess all you tinfoil wearing hat fruitcakes, you've all just been vindicated. Anyway, it's an interesting article because it goes on talking about a bit more. But I did want to mention that, you know, it's talked about, it's mentioned right there in the FBI's own files. In fact, I didn't know that they met every Wednesday until the FBI just told me. What's going on? Now, talking about some scumbag Zionist shills, O'Reilly, remember he's got fired from Fox? Oh, because, oh, there was some sexual allegations. And you know what he said? I saw another one saying that mentioned, he made a comment to, so I guess it was a black woman, something along the line that, your sweet chocolate or something like that. And then that's it. That's about as offensive as it was. And apparently that was the sexual harassment. And for that, Fox News suddenly turned around and fired him. But guess what? Old Bill Goebbels O'Reilly, who served his Zionist Jew puppet, signed his Zionist Jew masters as a puppet for so well. Guess what, people? He's going to be getting tens of millions from Fox as his severance package. So don't cry for me, old Argentina. Anyway, I do see we reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. Henry, if you please.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that will help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Tactical Report, And our site is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Brought to you by PBFTT Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Tactical Report is a listener-sponsored production, and if you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, please go to our website, FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, and hit that donate button. Contributions, as always, are greatly appreciated. I am your host for the Tactical Report, John, the U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and of course, Henry Shively is the main show host, and it is 4:37 Eastern Time, which makes it 1:37 Pacific Time. And during the break, that was Audio Slave with Drown Me Slowly. All right, just where we were going to break, we were talking about that scumbag, Bill Goebbels O'Reilly, and how, you know, he got kicked off, and it's among all these sexual allegations. Again, people, it has nothing to do with it. They make that garbage up when they want to do a little house cleaning. And right now they're doing a little house cleaning to get rid of Bill Goebbels O'Reilly. And so they claim he sexually harassed some woman. And what, I forget what the comment was. I actually saw it yesterday or last night. I was looking at an article, and he said something about sweet chocolate or something like that. I can't remember. I mean, nothing horrific, of course. And then, you know, but just to make sure that he gets his communist parachute for betraying his country, his golden parachute, he's going to end up collecting tens of millions of dollars in severance pay. So don't cry for him. Now, as a clear indicator to show you that this is just some house cleaning going on, there's some blowback going on here over in the Political Insider. One day after Bill O'Reilly was fired from Fox News, Sean Hannity is in trouble. Remember Sean Hannity, Sean Handjob Hannity? He's nothing more than another Zionist mouthpiece. Well, it looks like somebody's doing some house cleaning here. It says here, Fox News fired famous host Bill O'Reilly yesterday, but things are about to get worse. Insiders are speculating that Sean Hannity is next. The bad news about Hannity, who has been President Donald Trump's biggest supporter at the popular cable network, a New York Times reporter suggested Thursday that the conservative TV host Sean Hannity could be the next Fox News host to be pressured to leave the network after Bill O'Reilly's stunning decision to leave Fox in the wake of sexual harassment claims. Now, wait a minute. So now people are saying he was fired, and over here that they're saying, well, Bill O'Reilly decided to leave. Which one is it? Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Anyway, you get the idea. So you got some house cleaning of these Zionist shills. Now, I don't know if Bill O'Reilly was a supporter of the national fascist Donald Trump, but this one, this article saying that Sean Hannity was, and clearly somebody doesn't like that. I'm sure there's going to be some more blowback, and there's going to be some more fallout from this as we go through the coming months. Now, one last item here. I got a couple of great things I want to cover, but let's just get right down to this one. Talk about the circus clowns in North Korea over in RT, Russia Today. North Korea threatens to reduce U.S. to ashes with, quote, I love this, super mighty preemptive strike. Oh, there we go, people. Because, you know, we're not going to get an enema. No, we're going to get a super enema from North Korea, apparently. North Korea state media has warned Washington of a, quote, super mighty preemptive strike. You know, that's a step above a regular preemptive strike, people. It's not just an enema. It's a super enema, which would reduce the U.S. to ashes. It comes after U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said Washington is looking to pressure Pyongyang over its nuclear program. Quote, in the case of our super mighty preemptive strike being launched, it will completely and immediately wipe out not only U.S. imperialists, invasion forces in South Korea and its surrounding areas, but the U.S. mainland, and reduce them to ashes. And that's coming from the official newspaper of North Korea's ruling Workers' Party. So there you go, people. Be prepared to get a super enema. Anyway, that's it for me. Unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back over to my friend and mentor, Henry Shively. Go once, going twice. Okay, on you, Henry.
Outstanding report as always, JD. And the Red Dawn's coming, huh?
I guess. Well, he doesn't say they're going to land anyone here. Remember, they always talk about there's going to be they're going to rain fire down upon us, which I guess is supposed to mean nuclear warheads, ICBMs and so forth. And remember how it was being postulated and pushed in the Zionist Jew media press 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a year ago, that North Korea had developed a brand new advanced form of EMP weapons, which, of course, will send us back to the Stone Age?
Well, you know, I can just see old Ping Pong Ball, the clown over there, you know, looking at his little globe and putting his finger on the eye. Yeah, we could blow that up with our missile. That's a little bigger than that, Ping Pong. And, you know, what did you say here? Super mighty. That's pretty serious, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're pulling out the big superlative words now, Henry. These aren't your regular words of enticement. No, these are superlative. Super mighty preemptive strike.
Pretty scary.
Hannity, I'm terrified, Henry. In fact, I cracked my jaws twice when I said it.
I bet you did. I could smell it right through the microphone. Anyways, you talked about Hannity and O'Reilly, and you know what I see them doing? These people have lost all credibility. I mean, they put them up there. Oh, millions followed it, and they're millions. You've seen Greta, what the hell is her name? Van, whatever. She was
That eyesore. I mean, my God, could they pick someone more hideous looking? A scarecrow put up there. You know, semi-skeleton, Skeletor with a bra on would be more attractive than her.
Yep, she's over on CNN now. You know, this hardcore conservative, and they're just trying to mix them around. They're trying to salvage some kind of credibility, I think. And you know, they're trying to turn this whole thing with Donald Trump into like a joke, and they weren't a part of it. You know, this is why you see O'Reilly. He sets up this smug bastard. You know, and you know, like his, like he can choose presidents and such. You know, that's how important he is. But the fact is, go ahead.
Now, if we can just get Rachel Maddow to sexually harass a black woman and call her brown sugar, I think we'll have a clean plate.
Ooh, brown sugar, huh? Yeah, that'll work.
Is that the comment, brown sugar?
That's an old Stone song. Doom, doom, doo, 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 doo. Brown sugar. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, you know, they've lost all credibility.
Had it to begin with, except with the heart of thinking.
Exactly. But I mean, you can see the shifting around. I mean, they took the propaganda machine took a pretty hard hit with this latest fraudulent election. Because, you know, they've always played it till they actually were controlling the elections. You know, they tell you that 50% had went out and voted, and the 50% they just went out and did it. As you already said, they did it. They had to do it. You talked about the shadow government. Would that include Valerie Jarrett and what's his name, Kushner? Isn't that kind of a shadow?
In particular, now remember, this is going back into October of last year that article was released. And now when the pages were produced that was cited in that article, I don't know, but it's related to the Hillary Clinton investigation. You know, so clearly it's going to be prior to October of 2016. But, yeah. There's nothing new in these phrases, nothing new in these terms. And, of course, it includes people like Valerie Jarrett, you know, that Iranian-born communist. And, of course, Kushner, the Zionist Jew's son, son-in-law of Trump.
Exactly, man. You talked about
that. It was interesting, Henry. Last night, just by accident, I was digging through some of the media pages. And, you know, the little video windows pop up. So a video window pops up of... Well, it's a CNN news window, and they're interviewing, I guess, whoever is sitting in for Bill O'Reilly right now. It was the O'Reilly report, because that was the inset. That was the inset window. And so they're talking about whether Trump has betrayed his base or not. And they go on to explain how, well, you know, Trump launching them missiles into Syria, well, that is, in fact, what the people really wanted. And they went on to explain how, you know, starting possibly another world war is exactly what people wanted, because people were concerned about their security, and Syria was being a threat to our security. So in the end, you know, when Trump launched those missiles, it really is, even though they didn't know it, it really was what these people wanted. They just didn't know it.
Nothing to make you feel secure like a world war.
Yeah, nothing. But I mean, listening to these people twisting all these events and the actions and the lies and the media lies, and we don't even know if they launched any missiles, but let's just assume that they did. But how they were trying to portray it as, well, you know, you people who voted for Trump because you didn't want to vote for Clinton because she was going to bomb Syria or she was going to launch missiles into Syria, and thank God Trump didn't. Oh, but wait, he did. But you know why he did? Because in the end, that's what you people really wanted when you voted for him.
And weren't they beautiful, the light shining through that flag as they, you know, roared into the sky?
Yeah, I felt a swell of inspiration too. No, wait, I'm sorry. That was indigestion.
It was. Yeah, I got the same indigestion. I was saving the worst or the best for last. Oregon gun control bills get bipartisan support and opposition. This is from Oregon Live. It was sent in by Joe from Mass Private Eye for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. Oregonians from across the political spectrum packed into the state capitol Monday to testify on bills to limit some Oregonians' access to guns, including people who show signs they're suicidal or who don't demonstrate they have the skills to shoot a gun. Some gun owners worried that the bills would take away the constitutionally protected rights to bear arms, while proponents of the bill insisted the proposals were necessary to prevent gun violence. And to hear again, they have...
No, wait a minute. They just said for people who can't shoot a gun... Well, wait a minute. If you can't shoot a gun, how are you going to engage in gun violence?
This is the communist. I mean, they're going nuts, people. I mean, they've got this May Day thing coming up. And I'll tell you what, not likely, but if I happen to be somewhere and them son of a bitch, I'm getting out with that goddamn red baseball bat and I'm going to show you people how to deal with communists.
Now, remember that May Day thing, that's a communist holiday.
Goddamn right. Some gun owners are worried the bill, huh? The State Judiciary Committee heard three bills Monday. Listen to this shit. In her testimony on two of the bills, Governor Kate Brown, unelected communist dyke bitch, said they could help prevent public shootings like the one at Umpqua Community College. And you remember Obama came in there, told him to get out. This is Oregon, man. And you play around in the cities where your faggots and your transvestites and your communists are. Man, you come out into the country, man, and start trying to enforce this shit, you're going to get hurt. In 2015,
well, she's worried about public shootings. She better be worried about public hangings.
Goddamn right. In 2015, where 10 died, as well as domestic violence incidents like the recent Grisham shooting in which a father shot and killed his two daughters before turning the gun on himself. I can't, because they love us, John. They're so worried about us. I can't imagine. Excuse me a second.
Yes, they love us so much they're going to declare they have the right to inject you with poisons, but God help you if you try to drink whole milk.
Oh, yeah, that milk thing, man. Well, again, you know, if they can tell you can, they can tell you can't. You got to remember that, people. The fact that they were bringing a bill up on that, John, on the raw milk thing, the fact that they were bringing a bill up on it to say it was okay, well, I guess that says that they can say it ain't okay. And that the people just, oh, I guess they said we can't drink raw milk. Guess we can't. I can't imagine the heartache the family is going through, Brown said, choking up. Oh, I bet you were choking on something. And I extend my sincere condolences. This is absolutely unacceptable. In Oregon, we can do better. Violence answers nothing, offers nothing, solves nothing. What do you mean, like the violence when you ordered those state police hitmen out there in Burns to kill Lavoie Finnegan, to murder him on the side of the road? Remember, everybody was acquitted over there, people. You know, we came to keep, tending to forget about that. Everybody was acquitted.
Yeah, when the lawyer said something about it, they just came over and beat his ass right in front of the judge.
You're goddamn right. Is that some of that violence you're not for, Kate Brown, you communist whore? Senator Brian Boquist, Republican Dallas, is the co-sponsor along with Senate. Oh, you've got a Republican sponsor, and I bet you old Trump is going to step right in here with his Republican brotherhood. You're going to see they're coming after guns because their shit's falling apart. It is not working. The people are, I mean, even the stupid go, oh, I guess he fooled me again. Brown said... where were we? Dallas is co-sponsor along with Senator Jenny Burdick, Democrat, Portland, of a bill that would give family members, because they want to help, they love our family members, some power to keep a loved one from buying a gun to hurt someone. Senate Bill 868 would enable immediate family members to obtain a court order to prevent a person showing signs of wanting to commit suicide or hurt others from obtaining a gun for 1 year. It would require the person to hand over any guns in their... You're talking confiscation. Come. Let's do this thing, man. Let's get it over with. Bequist said he hopes his bill will prevent suicides, especially among veterans. Well, man, our heroes. His stepson, a Navy veteran, killed himself last year. You should have followed suit, Daddy. Bequist tried to get ahead of arguments by the bill's opponents by addressing their biggest concern, that it violates the Second Amendment. It's not the Second Amendment. It's the second article, and it goddamn sure violates you. You even speaking of it, you communist piece of shit, violates it. It doesn't. Listen to this. This is the law. I'm telling you now, it doesn't. He assured the committee, because various courts have heard cases on the constitutionality of similar laws and ruled in their favor. You mean those government admiralty courts with zero jurisdiction over an American national? They have heard, you know, it's like we were talking earlier, these corporate agencies in their administrative hearings. That's what you're talking about here. You're talking about admiralty. The admiralty, the military, for all intents and purposes, got together and they decided that they have something to say about our privately owned firearms. I'll tell you what we got to say about 2 ounces of lead in your freaking ear, man, and that's going to be the end of the discussion, you arrogant pricks. I don't give a shit if everybody in town kills themselves tonight, sticks a gun in their mouth. That ain't got nothing to do with me and my individual, absolute, unalienable right to keep and bear my private arms for the defense against a tyrannical communist insurgency into my country. It's easy to wave your... Oh, wait a minute. Berquist tried to get ahead of arguments by the bill's opponents by addressing their biggest concerns, that it violates the Second Amendment. It doesn't, he assured. It's easy to wave your book around, he said, brandishing a pocket-sized copy of the Constitution. I don't really give a shit about that lying-ass Constitution, but boy, you better read that part that says Bill of Rights, you son of a bitch. When the Supreme Court and other people say it's unconstitutional, F the Supreme Court, without authority, better read that ninth article, you piece of communist shit. That the laws of, that's the law of the land. You want to bet the law of the land's called, it comes in calibers, and you're about to find out what the law of the land, and because it also comes in hemp rope, and you're about to experience the law of the land. A second bill, Senate Bill 797, would close the so-called Charleston loophole, which enable a gun sale to go through if a background check is not completed within 3 days. This is something they've really been pushing hard for. Why? Because if they can say, well, we just got to wait indefinitely until we, and then you'll say the applications are backing up. There's now a 3-month backlog. So you're waiting, and you know these waiting periods, they couldn't get in shit. Well, we just got it by proxy, didn't we? By bullshit, by infringement. I don't have to apply to the government to exercise a right, and you're going to find that out the hard way, you sons of bitches. Let's see, background, which would enable a... Which enables a gun sale to go through if a background check is not completed within 3 days. If you can't get the paperwork through in 3 days, in the first place, it is a goddamn absolute 110% infringement upon my second article right to try to suggest that I have to apply to the goddamn government for permission to buy a gun. Think about it. And people, when you fell for that, oh, it's a good idea because then bad guys won't get no guns. You knew better. You goddamn spineless morons. And now they're coming at you with this goddamn waiting list. It'd be like in D.C., you know, the people that want to try and get their concealed carry permits. I seen a little special on that. It was like 4 or 5 months and filling out papers. We got a backlog. There ain't no reason we can do it when we get ready because of the law. This is what they're wanting here. They want to be able to, if you could just not process the forms is what they're saying. It's kind of like how they outlawed marijuana. You know, there was never no Volstead Act on marijuana. What they did is they slapped a tax on it, made it so there was no way for you to buy the tax stamp. So what you're really getting busted for is tax evasion when they bust you for the weed. This is how these dirty bureaucratic mobo concepti piece of shit attorneys work. They are the ones that took what was, like we were talking in the earlier article, what is your goddamn absolute right as an American national to the common law, and they're handing it over to aliens. And listen to this, get this through your head. The admiralty jurisdiction we've discussed this before. It can only apply to people in the military and foreigners. They don't get to come in our civil courts. They're not a part of our society. They are here illegally. And it is the military issue when you cross a border without goddamn permission, people. These people, the courts that we are being persecuted under are the courts that these goddamn illegals are supposed to be being processed through to throw their ass out of this country. Instead, the American nationals, the owners, the free sovereigns of this country are having their rights taken away from him and being put in an admiralty military jurisdiction by these goddamn invaders. Kind of like what happened the first time. And this new colonization force comes in and they've got rights. They've got those free people rights because they're the real free people. By the way, this is their country. They told you so. Okay. Kelly Hopkins, a lobbyist with the National Rifle Association, said Senate Bill 797 amounts to giving up on the state's ability to process background checks in the three-day currently allotted. Firearm ownership and self-defense is an important right, and Oregonians rely on the state to conduct the complete background check. See, all this stuff, it's like they're telling us, you're the one that put the stuff in here, and we just can't accomplish it, so you're not going to have a gun. Uh-uh. No goddamn way. This is tyranny. The hardest, coldest tyranny you'll ever. They have to have the guns. They understand the situation, even if some people out there don't. The situation is that big wave I was talking about out there on the jetty, that son of a bitch is big as a mountain. And where it's coming down, nobody knows. I used to fish over there at Coos Bay on the jetty. And, man, people got killed there every year. Them riptides would come in, and, man, it just a big mountain of water, man. And it would come over, and, I mean, it'd go down 1,000 yards down the beach, 6 feet of fucking water before you can say don't do it. People dead. And that's what's getting ready to happen here, man. It's building and it's building. And I can't wait for that wave to break. The bill would also prohibit people convicted of stalking from obtaining a firearm. So now here's a misdemeanor charge. You know, 1960, even their phony ass, unconstitutional act of tyranny called the 1968 Gun Control Act was only going to be for felons. That's what we care about. And you know, goddamn, it's a misdemeanor. Everything's a misdemeanor. But let's see what they're saying here. Obtain firearms in addition to those subject to restraining order or convicted of certain misdemeanors. Currently, the restraining order or misdemeanor must apply to someone the person lives with, is married to, or shares a child with for the gun prohibition to apply. You have no authority. This is another example of the ninth article being pissed on. They cannot have the authority to violate the Bill of Rights. The ninth article says it, and I know this is a state, but the state operates under the federal charter. That's where all the authority flows. It doesn't flow from the bottom up; it flows from the top down. In the way they've put things together, though the state, I can't even turn to my state Bill of Rights. You got to go read that son of a bitch. The only right you have in the state of Oregon is to create revenue for the state of Oregon, whether it's through incarceration or fines or taxes. The bill would expand that circle to include anyone with whom the person has had a sexual relationship. So a girlfriend you had 5 years ago, you know, some guy, and he gets married later on. She's pissed off at him because he went and married somebody. Oh, I'll go get his guns taken away. Maybe they'll kill him while they're coming to confiscate his weapons. Who sponsored that bill? Was not made public. They won't even tell you who's sponsoring this shit, because this is a communist. This is some of your shadow goddamn government. I tell you what, this ain't going to fly in Oregon. You go ahead. You've passed other shit. And you know what? Come try to fucking enforce it. You sick communist sons of bitches. Our rights are absolute. And you can't touch them. You are in blatant violation of the ninth article. We have an open contract. We're back to Lexington and Concord. And that being said, we are at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches. And until then, man, hey, bullshit. That is The Word from the Trenches.